Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, happy to see all of you, and stakeholders. I last saw you many, many moons ago, Mrs. Prayer. Yes. Welcome back. We have two items on the agenda. Baba Sproul, welcome back. Find a place to sit. No, I asked him now, next to the Deputy Minister. There's another seat next to Honorable Dreyer, and also a seat next to Honorable Paula Barnett, and next to we have two items. The first is the amendments that we received from the National Council of Provinces, amendments with regard to Clause 90. Parliamentary legal advisor will take us through that. We are done with that. We have a presentation with regard to verified debt owed to municipalities and the payments thereof. Honorable Futani has a keen interest there. Shall we commence, Parliamentary Legal Advisor? Welcome, madam.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'm going to refer to the two documents that I think were circulated to the members, the B4C and the B4D. Can I proceed, Chairperson?
Honorable Fidania, you sorted out the relevant documentation.
Chairperson, the one that I'm talking about, the 4C, where we're just indicating, where we're making the changes. In the committee, it's the one that we would normally call A list. So it's where we're indicating that we're changing a 20 to a 30 and it's the 4C. Yes,
please proceed, madam.
Chairperson, if you're looking to page 2 of the 4C, the change is in clause 19. On page 17 of the 4D, in line 45, we're omitting 20 and we're substituting 20 with 30. And on page 17, in line 54.
Okay, you kindly take some of the members with you, Mrs. Honorable Dreyer.
Yes, Madam Chair, I just want to say I am on page 17.
Not Madam Chair.
Sorry. No offense meant that in compliments to Mr. Chairman. False of habit. Mr. Chairman, I'm on page 17 and line 45, they talk about within 30 days of receipt. So I don't see the 20 that must be omitted. It already says within 30 days. So am I mistaken or am I looking at the right place or not?
You are looking at the correct place, Parliamentary Legal Advisor. Already corrected.
Chairperson, the changes that are made are the changes that were made in the original bill as it was adopted by the House. So if the original bill, as we last saw, it was saying 20 instead of 30. Now it has been changed to 30. So you would see 30 when you look into your page 17 instead of saying 20 now.
It's already been changed.
Yes, it has already been inserted. The reason I'm using courses to indicate where it is changed, the change, the amendment. Okay. Then the second change would be on page 17 in 954 to omit 10 and to substitute with 20. If we move to 4B4D, which means we go to page 17 of the actual bill. I will just read clause 19 sub 2 and indicate where the change is. The heading is payment of municipal property rates and other charges, also compensation money. 19 sub 2, if land which has been expropriated is subject to the change contemplated in section 1, the municipal manager must, within 30 days of receipt of a copy of the notice, in the original bill, are saying within 20 days. Now the new change is the date has been increased to 30. In a notice, in terms of section 8.2.C.1, inform expropriating authority in writing of such charges, as at the date contemplated in section 9.2.4, provided that if the expropriating authority is the municipal council of the municipality where the land is situated, the notice is not required. So the only thing that clause is, in that clause, is the number of days. And if we move to 3B, if the said amount is not disputed in writing by the expropriated owner or expropriated holder within 20 days of the notification, the expropriated authority may utilize as much of the compensation money in question as is necessary for the payment on behalf of the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of any outstanding charges contemplated in subsection 1. The change that instead of having 10 days, now is included the days have been increased to 20 days. Thank you. Those are all the changes that have been effected. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, yes, while we from DA side have no problems with allowing a little bit more time to affect the people to do what they have to do in terms of the bill or to do what they could do, you know, what they love to do in terms of the bill, that's fine, giving people a little bit more time. So we don't have an objection to that. However, I did find it a bit strange that we're getting a bill with changes already in it while we as a committee are we're supposed to still deliberate on this, say yes or no. I see the minister shaking his head. The process is not that the proposed changes or amendments are coming to this committee and we have to deliberate on that. Otherwise, why have a meeting at all if we present it with a say a complete?
Honorable Dreyas, I don't think it's pre-decided situation. What we are doing here, we still have to canvass the views of members. If they are in support of intended changes. But after the bill came from the National Council of Provinces, when it was seen that it would only be the two changes in regard to these, they printed a bill. So we still have to decide, irrespective of whether it has been printed or not. So that process has to be undertaken. This is why we are doing what we are doing right now. I will, yes, ma'am.
If I can.
Yes.
Okay, now thank you for that. So I'm correct in terms of the process, my understanding of the process. So theoretically, we could all say, no, we don't agree to these changes, and then the bill's got to be changed back to what it was.
It's a Section 36 bill, which means that it has to receive mandate. We passed a bill, and then it was referred to the National Council of Provinces. Because it was a Section 76 bill, the National Council of Provinces had to get provincial mandates, which they went to considerable effort to have hearings and so on in all of the provinces, and eventually 8 of the 9 provinces agreed to what is printed at B14. This was what was tabled in the National Council of Provinces last week, B14. And the only changes they've made to the vision that we have got in the National Assembly were these two amendments to Section 17. Okay. Now, what confronts us as the National Assembly is that we can either assent to these changes, and I was thinking that it's Vonda Gray was saying that she personally had no problems with those minor changes, or we can say we don't agree with the changes that they've brought to, in which case then a mediation process is okay, in which we then engage as the National Assembly. If we assent, then basically the committee writes a report to the National Assembly, and that report would have to be tabled with the National Assembly. So that's the process. I hope the Parliamentary Law Advisors will correct me if I'm wrong in that interpretation.
I'm quite interested in the Deputy Minister's correction explanation.
Honourable Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that clarification. It's clear, my friends, and I understand it. Now, having said that, I have to actually place on record today that we're not happy with the process that was followed in the NCOP. Now, I realize we're not the NCOP, it's a separate house, but it's now come to us. This is a product of a process followed there in the NCOP. And we have the opinion that the process followed there was flawed, that the process was irregular in terms of public, especially in terms of public participation. And we in the process of obtaining a legal opinion on that, and so we want to place on record today here that we're not happy. We have great reservations about that process followed there, and based on the legal opinion, we may very well take it on review and even petition the president if necessary.
Thanks for articulating your view. I think where we are now is for parties to express their view, whether they extend on what we have in front of us. Honourable, I appreciate your last comments, but before we get there, for me, the question is, why did they deem it necessary or prudent to change those days? But now we deliberated length on those days, oscillating between 30 days and 20 days, and we finally agreed on 20 days on the dress clauses. What persuaded them to think differently to what we agreed upon? Thank you.
As you yourself have just articulated, when we discussed 20 days and 30 days, members felt that it would be prudent to give a full month, and other members felt that 20 days was sufficient. So basically that was the nub of the issue. Give a full month, working days from 20 to 30 days, that's my understanding of the process that was followed in regard to the days. Honourable Sithole, did I see your hand up, sir?
Yes. Chairperson, I think what I would have done is for discussion on my friend, because that's why I was trying to find out what informed them to change our days. That's why I was. And then what I need to understand, these 20 days, why now is 20 days? Why is not 30 days as the other one has said 30 days for the student of the COVID? Why now this one is 30 days?
The 10 days was increased to 20, and the 20 by another 10 days to 30. Honourable Madrop.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Thanks to the EGAL team for presenting these changes. I think, Honourable Chair, we propose that we accept these days. 80 and 20, because it has been increased by 10 pence, which is uniform according to them. But also, as you must understand, Chair, this particular bill is going to affect more the provinces and municipalities. So it will be important for us as a public works portfolio committee to also understand that the most people that are being affected
approach these municipalities around the issue of expropriation. So I think we must also take into consideration their proposal, because it's not a major proposal. It's just to say the number of things. They have not changed drastically the bill per se. I think it's a one proposal that we accept the amendment as presented before us.
Honorable Mayor, before Edwards.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you about this.
Indeed, I think we support these changes because they are really minor, which shows that we have done a good job as the committee, because they accepted almost everything except with these 2 days. And another thing which is impressing me is that they are not reducing the days, but adding more. And by adding more days, it's giving our people more time to be able to ensure that they are going to respond on time on these same issues. Unlike if they were reducing it, which was going to make it even more difficult for them. Indeed, as Honorable has just said, this affects the provinces and the municipalities more. Therefore, let's agree to it. And therefore, we are supporting these 2 amendments. Thank you.
Mutumpedi Me Masiel. Dear Akbar Adams.
Thank you very much. As in support of my 2 colleagues, we support the bill, and I second the proposal put on the table by Honorable Matopa. That is to support the members. Thank you, Chair. It's going to be one of those rare occasions where I would look at the vote with the ASC. I couldn't take it for granted. It's going to be good. So yes, it did me good.
Baba's toilet. Baba's toilet. Chairperson, the statement of Honorable Sultan is not actually relevant. we are a member of committee. So now we are not supporting the party. If he is supporting the party, I don't support the party. That's the problem. If I am supporting the party, it's the team, not the party.
I shall.
Mr. Chairman, I just need to make one point clear. We from the DA side, and I am talking about the party in this committee, we have no objections to these 2 minor amendments. That's fine. But as we said before, when the bill as such was before this portfolio committee and in the National Assembly, we don't support the bill. So in this particular case, we would support the 2 minor amendments, but the bill as such we still opposed. Okay.
Akona committee secretaries, fingers are tightening and taking down all the points that you've made, Honorable. I would like to assure you that your concurrence with the relevant points that have been taken on board. Good folks, I think at this stage is the next step is to read the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, having considered the Expropriation Bill, B40-2015, within brackets, National Assembly, Section 76(1), closed brackets, amended by the National Council of Provinces, and referred to the committee, reports that it has agreed to the bill. Report to be considered. And then I will have to sign it and give it to the state.
Thank you. Just to make it very clear that our objection is not in the bill, because you said we have accepted the bill, which of course we have not. We've accepted the amendments, but not the bill.
Doesn't mean that we should vote, because the DA colleagues are absolutely right, and as the government is designing, it's not the bill, it's not the budget. So what we need to check is if there's a majority within the portfolio committee that is that assents to the bill in its new form.
I just
yes, can you say the agenda of the day was about amendments or changes of the days, and what CAM is agreeing to is change of the days, not the bill. We still stand where we were a month or two ago on the bill. I want to make that very clear. So if it necessitates that you redraft the resolution that made the case, unless you just take me to the basis of the majority, party. But otherwise, we still stand where we were. We agree to the changes of the dates, which was the agenda of the day.
So, Connor, all we need to do is to correct this, the wording, that what's extended to what's agreed to is the changes, and then the report to the National Assembly. Okay, can we just check with the Parliamentary Board Council if that is correct? Because basically what we're doing is the same thing to a new version of the bill. And therefore I think the wording is correct. And that's why I'm suggesting that let's get the advice of the Parliamentary Lord Council. That's why I'm suggesting that we should go to the vote. Because what we're doing is we're not talking narrowly about assenting to a new version of the bill that's come to us from the NPRP. So that we're fair, so we don't accept the process. Exactly. Legal advisor, parliamentary legal advisor.
Mr. Chair, I remember when we voted at committee at the end of the process on the bill. We voted on it and recorded the objections of some of the opposition members, and you also had a minority report. And that process was very well done, and I remember in my speech in National Assembly when the bill was up for debate, I actually commended you on handling that process very correctly and ran very smoothly. So I would ask that we follow the same process. We should have our previous good record in this regard.
Shall we have the parliamentary legal advisor?
The report should read at the end. It is agreed to the amendments to the bill. Perhaps we could, that makes more sense to my ears, but I think we also need to add the objections of the X party and Y party remain.
The result...
To the post office, sorry.
My understanding is that we can vote on this and then get the majority. And the parties that still object to this, then that should be included in the report to Parliament. So that the results will be the same. Everybody will be like in the previous situation.
Okay.
Shall we do that before we vote? Bashkali wanted to get
chair. Before we vote, we have passed the bill in Halatem and went to National Council of Provinces. The National Council of Provinces submits with the amendment of all days, 3 days and 20 days. What are you voting now? What are you voting for?
When a new bill comes from the National Council of Provinces, they send it back to us. So the process is that we...
So why I'm asking this question? All parties have agreed on amendment. On amendment. Now what are we voting for? Because now it means now if we are voting for the bill, it means we're starting from the first.
It's amendments on the bill, Honorable Sitoli, that we have agreed to as this collectors. You remember the process. We pass the bill, National Council of Provinces intend to look at the bill, the effect of the amendments. So the procedure of Parliament is that it is sent back to us. We must either agree, accept, or disagree. If we did not agree to this, then a different process would follow. But for us to accept the amendments effected by the National Council of Provinces, we have to agree to those amendments that they effected. So what we're doing is that. So there's common agreement in regard to that. And then we have to report to the National Assembly in regard to the entirety of the bill that the majority of members of the portfolio committee accept the bill as it is now. Then it also gives the other parties to object to the entirety of the bill that they said before. So if that's clear, can we vote?
I just want to do this, Mr. Chair. As a member of the committee for the purpose of the bill, that process has been concluded and I'm no longer a member of this committee. I'm just attending, exercising my rights as a normal MP who can attend any committee, but I don't think I can vote because I'm not officially a member of this committee anymore. I just wanted to clarify that, so my colleague here will vote. Unless you will also allow me to vote
on. No, my understanding is that members of parliament can vote. Yeah. So you would be able to vote besides the regular member of the DA.
Sorry, but just a second.
Please
don't allow my member to...
Yeah, just a
second. It's not correct.
Akona, it is pointed out to me that we have a regular member from the DA and we have an alternate member which is Honorable Kopane. So that a different process has to be followed if Honorable Faye has to vote. Yes. Shall we then vote, Kutu? Those here in support, yeah, of the bill. And those who do not support the bill. Akuna, you've got it. So, okay. So what remains for me is to sign the report, and then it will be submitted to the National Assembly. Good hope, thank you very much. That deals with item number 1 on the agenda.
Okay. And at this point, I will leave you because I just this came to for purposes of this book. And my good colleague here, I need to mention the answer. Nice to see all of you again.
Thank you very much, sir. You are welcome to stage. Honorable Vitaly, thank you, sir. Director General, we are in your able hands. We take the presentation.
Of the properties and length especially the pre-1994, which was characterized by the old South Africa, the TBVC countries and the self-governing territory, which established the exclusion of and ownership of these properties. Then the change that happens with the 27th of April 1994 elections, the scenario that then prevailed, which is supposed to be what the dispensation we're working on currently. Then there was a devolution process that took place from the National Department to the provinces, which took place on the 1st of April 2008. A lot of these created some level of complexity with respect to who's responsible to pay what and at what point, and as a result, and could be seen as one of the contributors to the outstanding debt that as government they are having towards the municipalities. The debt that is, Chair, and colleagues and honorable members, it's a departmental debt. It is not a debt for one department. I think that's what we need to remember. And also, another context that I thought would be very beneficial and helpful to for the comprehension of what we are going to be presenting, is the fact that in terms of the Section 71 report, which is a report that the municipalities launched with the National Treasury to report the outstanding monies that are owed to them. And so the Treasury then on a quarterly basis presents and publishes this report on their website, which is called the Section 71 report. The total debt, as of the 31st, our point of reference that we're looking at there, is the 31st of March 2015, which means the financial year from the 1st of April 2015 that we are looking at the debt as it stood at that time. In terms of the Section 71 report, just by way of background as well, there's a total debt that was owed to the municipalities for rates and taxes as well as municipal services was a total amount of 96 billion rands. And if you take the portion that's owed by a government in terms of that report, which is what has been reported to the National Treasury, was about 5.2 billion rands, which comprised about 5.4% of the total exposure to the municipalities. So the households, as well as the private sector, were owing somewhere in the order of 91 billion rands to the municipalities and the 5.2, as I think we came, being to government. In terms of the presentation on slide 3, I will take us through what is being called, what we term the verified government debt, and I'll skip slide 4 and just run to slide 5, and I'll come back to slide 4 to assist members in comprehending the information that we provided here. If you look at the bottom number on slide 5, you have the different kind of reported items around this debt. As the 31st of March 2015, was that in terms of Section 71 report, the amount of money the government departments owed to municipalities was stated as 5.2 billion rands. And as you know, this has created a lot of consternation in terms of the challenges that municipalities were experiencing from a funding perspective and a point concern of sustainability perspective. Then the decision was made that we have to resolve that. And then, against that, as of the 31st of March 2015, the actual state of debt by the municipalities in their books, when you go to the municipalities and request them to provide the age analysis, they were then presenting a total figure of 4.4 billion rands. So there's a sort of a disjunction between what's on the Section 71 and what municipalities have in the records in terms of their age analysis. There's a differential of about, that was what municipalities stated. We then decided, as the department, we thought, let's try and intervene in this matter and coordinate the verification of the debt and determine who owes what in terms of the government departments and allocate whatever is owed to those by those and let them process the payment. We established a task team, an intergovernmental forum that comprised of key stakeholders like ourselves, National Treasury, COPTA, SALGA, you name them, and to try and intervene in the verification of the debt. When we went out to verify the debt, in terms of the municipalities. We came to a figure, as you can see, the total of the five debts of 3.6 billion rands. So yeah, but you speak about it by National Treasury indexes with one report, which is 5.2 billion. You have what the municipalities themselves, in the age analysis, when you do it, look at them, aggregate, they have 4.4 billion, and what we could when we went out on an intervention way to try and verify the case. We asked for the invoices, what was paid, and all of that. We came to about 3.6 billion rands, and that's the figure that, in a way, we are now focusing our attention on between ourselves and the municipalities to second. In that society, 3 out of 4, as I did indicate, the breakdown of that, what our has given us in terms of between the national government departments and the provincial departments, broken down into, yes, states by the municipalities, as I did indicate, 4.4 billion, of which the national department is 1.1 billion, and the province is about 3.2 billion, in terms of the state debt in the municipal system, taking the municipalities age analysis. We have an opening pass that we at least ticked off. We said that's another point from where we start. And the opening balance I did indicate, this balance, we went back to the pre-devolution process of 1 April 2008 and established what the debt situation was then there. And we took the entire, over the 7-year period, from 2008 and up to the 31st of March 2014, and said, what has been the actual movements and transactional issues with respect to this over the 7-year period? And we actually worked out the total property rates that have been burned by the municipalities came to about 6.7 or 6.6 billion, or 6.7 if you round it up, made up of the 2.5 billion by national and the provinces to the provinces are 4.1 billion. Then what has been the municipal services that have been burned over the period? That is about 10.3 billion. And because this amount has been outstanding for quite a considerable period, there has been interest that has been levied on the outstanding debts, which comes to the half a billion rand. And if you aggregate all of that, that is a total charges of about 18.6 billion rand, 18.7 billion rand. We then said, okay, in terms of those, let's look at all the payments that have taken place in respect to this thing over this period, and it was about 14 billion rand, giving us the balance of 3.6 billion rand over the time, broken down between the national departments and the provinces in that manner. So the difference, if you take the figure tax, the municipalities and the verified tax, you have a variance of about 724 billion rand, which is what could not be substantiated by the municipalities, and in agreement with them, we then all agreed we'll have a look at the verified debt that we will be chasing. In terms of slide 6, as I've already gone through slide 5, Honorable Chair members, slide 6 just gives us an indication of how this debt is made up by the different custodians, both at national and at the provinces. At the national, in terms of the custodial framework, you have 6 departments that are custodians of our public property. It is public works, defense, rural development, sanitation, and that. And in terms of the total amount that's owed by national departments, including the 3.6 billion rands by debt, it's about a billion rands, of which the makeup is, as you can see there, half of that being sitting with the Department of Public Works, which is the National Department of Public Works, as the custodian of those properties. That's the debt that's owing. And like I said, the mix or the composition of that debt is between the rent and taxes as well as the municipal services that needs to be settled. Then on the provinces, you can see the figure is 2.6 that's owed, and the lion's share of that 2.6 billion, which is about 2.4, is sitting with the provincial Department of Public Works to settle also between the rates and taxes as well as the municipal services. As the breakup in terms of a pie, the size of the pie, each one you can see it, as you can see there, Honorable Chair and members. Going on to slide 7, now that we verified the act, then we undertook a process where what we verified had to be signed off with the accounting officers and the chief financial officers of the different municipalities. The intention being that there's agreement, there might be agreement on this. And as you can see, the total municipalities is 228 municipalities. We have, out of that 228, we have 13 municipalities in those different provinces where we have challenges with respect to the signing off of the revised tax to the then the standards of paying. 13 municipalities, of which are 13 in the Eastern Cape. 3 in KZN, 1 in Limpopo, and so it goes northwest, west, northern Cape, and western Cape. Then we have the process of signing off that is in progress because the meeting has taken place. 12 municipalities, and those that have been resolved and just awaiting the signing off to happen, we look at about 45 municipalities, and those that have been concluded and agreed upon, that's 208 of the 228 municipalities that have signed off in terms of what we need. And as you can see, 75% of total. And that's where we are in terms of that. As soon as the process of signing off has started happening, the process of pay can then start in earnest, and I'll get to that when we get to the other part of the presentation that comes with the payment. On slide 8, we are just giving a breakdown of the national departments, what they owe to the municipalities, as you can have it there. The detailed report, the 71 presentation that we sent to the House, Honourable Members, has a complete detailed breakdown to the level of per province, per municipality. So you can actually turn down in terms of to the level of minutest detail to be able to work out. If you have a question in the Eastern Cape, because this municipality, how much is sustaining? We'll be in a position to go in there and unpack it and tell you where we are in terms of and we verified or unverified, signed off and that. So in terms of the national government departments, that's the outstanding amount that we have in terms of the breakdown of the different departments that we have. Slide 9 just gives an indication of the provinces in terms of departments, and you'll see some of the departments are listed there. You think that you say, well, they are not those departments, but those will be subject to that complexity that are indicated later on of, you know, the ownership, the custodianship, and the devolution that some of these main things with provinces and that kind of thing. So that's where it's coming from. Coming on to the payments is something that I think as the committee has a particular interest in because of the stressed environment under which the responses are working. How we actually pay this tax? 3.6 billion rand out there. What impact does have for delivery of the municipalities? The slide 11 just gives an indication of the revised government debt and payment by the National Department of Public Works. As indicated earlier on, that there was a billion rands owed by the National Department, of which 500, half a billion of that was the Department of Public Works. We verified that debt, and in terms of our different offices in our region, that was the balances, and we've paid to date a total of about 342 of that verified debt. The balance that's not paid, it is just undergoing the normal approval process. So by the end of April, we had paid 342 of the 525. With respect to the provinces, there's a challenge in the sense that 2 million that the provinces have that are sitting and verified, they have not been able to pay substantial amounts because of issues of the budgets and the lack of funding. Engagements are continued with National Treasury to assist with that process. And all the other departments where we have actually indicated and provided them with the verified debt, the issue as part of the process to pay, especially the Minister of the fact that most of the base of the payment would be on the reconciliations and the ratification process that took place, but the actual invoice for the municipalities and the departments were kind of weary of wanting to pay just on the basis of that. We have approached the Office of the Accountant General to issue an instruction note that allows the departments to pay on the basis of working papers and reconciliations that we've conducted to verify the debt, and in that sense, they will not attract any negative foreign challenges there too. moving on to the challenges and recommendations, honourable members, what are the challenges with respect to this project, and where do we believe we can unlock things that may be locked for challenges? One is, as I indicate, the budget allocations. If you look at the historical trend of the growth in the municipal, in the property rates in Texas, for instance, you'll realize that the growth has been in quantum leaps in terms of the cost or the exposure to the departments or the property owners. However, the allocation from the national fiscus has been at a, as you know, very slow growth, and in certain instances declining in real terms. So that disjuncture of municipalities having higher growth in terms of the taxes, and on the other hand, we having allocations that are in real terms declining, and in that sense, putting departments under considerable pressure to be able to meet their obligations with respect to this. The second issue around challenges is that the inadequate process to track the government property portfolio. I think this is a historical thing that we did not all know, as I indicate, there's a pre-1994 and a post-1994, there was a whole lot of complexity in determining the ownership and the reconciliation of the property and the registers of state. I think the program that we embarked on of the compilation of our asset register has gone a long way in dealing with this issue. But historically, this has been one of the problems that we faced because we could not determine ownership, the registration, the surveying, the vesting of all properties onto the right custodians. And then there was also issues around, you know, naming conventions. If you look at it, you go back, you take the old register, you hear, you see, you know, property owned by the, you know, whatever, Good Hope, those kind of naming conventions are highly problematic. So you could not do the reconciliation process in the sense that things have moved up. And I think another challenge is the inconsistent property rates terms, which are assessed by the municipalities again. This year is this much, next year is so much. It's just not something that is standardized throughout the country. And you find that you pay for a municipality in the metro, you pay for a similar property, somewhere around about 50 times for the same property, similar property in a smaller municipality. And that's really a major challenge that we have. That there is no, you know, a standardized way of doing things. And then the issue of people, the poor intergovernmental relations, especially across the spheres of governments, which deals with the national provinces and the local, the capacity constraints of even the municipalities themselves to manage the property portfolio and the requirements for debt claims, for property rates and municipal services, inefficiencies in the management of revenue collection within municipalities due to capacity and competency constraints, issues around technology, non-integrated systems across the government spheres, resulting in duplication of manual interventions and loss of physical data, such as historical building records, on inconsistent building formats and report across the systems used by the municipalities, insufficient governance and management of physical building data, for example, loss of data during system changes, just disappears, and you can't actually verify it. Recommendations, very important that we source budgets to address historical debt and review the current process for allocation of budgets to municipalities. Departments and municipalities work together to improve revenue collection in the municipalities and building anomalies. Section 1 schools to consider prepaid courses to avoid consumptions without payment. Custodian departments play a more active role in ensuring complete and accurate asset registers that can link to the municipal systems. Government to consider implementing minimum standards for property management and continue to be adhered to by all states of government, including standard naming conventions, and the process will be laid by the Department of Public Works Management. Foster better relationship between government departments and avoid operating in silos. Consider implementing an integrated management system for all municipalities to submit invoices and departments submit payment schedules to assist with allocation of payments. Furthermore, the system can be used to track properties and associated fiscal accounts. Chair and this and honourable members, I think that's kind of a snapshot of where we are with respect to this matter. We have verified the debt. We are signed off. The process to pay has started in earnest, and as you can see from the National Department itself, we've already paid the considerable sum. The $500 million will be paid off. It's just undergoing the normal processes of the parties. And we will, through our member structures, through our intergovernmental structures, attend to the issues of the provinces, the $2.5 billion that are spending, and interact with the National Treasury with respect to the sourcing of the appropriate funds for the settlement of this liability. On that note, I'll leave it at that, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much to the presenters. I'm not sure if you need to add anything further, Director General.
Okay. That is the presentation. Just to add that the structure with the intergovernmental structure that is discussing this issues continues to discuss them. I think some of the issues we're addressing are the systemic issues that come out of the challenges that we have experienced. And National Treasury is at the center of the resolution of some of those matters. Thank you, sir. We'll take questions.
Comment and questions, members. First hand up, Honorable Kola Barnett, followed by Honorable Sitole, by Honorable Ms. Adams, and Honorable Mayor Masier.
Thank you very much, Chair. Looking through documents, I was looking for a time frame. When do these debts begin to accumulate? Is it recent? Is it over the last decade? Is it over the last two decades? I'm a bit confused that suddenly it seems now it's a problem, because this is, I think, has probably gone on for many, many, many years, and I can't understand how it's still a problem 22 years into democracy. And there's not a date anywhere. I've tried and searched, and there's no detail, although they do give details, for example, of Kaohsiung Province, the various provinces. There's no date at all. So I'd like to know when this entity that has existed since 2006 or 5, I think, when it noticed there was a problem, because this is, I mean, those billions could have done so much for the country, and just, I'm flummoxed, but today it's a problem, and for the last 20 years it hasn't been.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Next was Honourable Sitole.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. First of all, my thanks for the presentation, because it is actually an eye-opener.
Chair, my what I want to get, what is the target for the department to pay off the debt between municipalities? Their time frame in the department.
And the other question, what ability do the department have to help those municipalities? Because if you check that, they are talking about inconsistent property charged by municipalities. That's the big question. And then inconsistent dealing for it. Are they going to help them? If they do help, do they have a system or other? Is there any system that has been applied to all municipalities? Because we have this RDR, which is supposed to be a meet-map. It's supposed to be a tool for helping these municipalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sitole. Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. My first question is on slide 9, Chairperson. There is an item sorted in on slide 9. I think the 6-7 bullets from the last one, unallocated provincial. Can you explain why did you put that in and what it is about? Chairperson, then on the challenges, I would have loved the department to say challenge A. This is how we want to resolve it. Because, Chairperson, one of the first challenges is an unrealistic budget allocation for who? for the department, for the municipality. Then, Chairperson, we spoke a lot about intergovernmental relations. There is no indication on how this poor intergovernmental relations will be bettered. I would have loved the department to speak about that. And as a former teacher, on your recommendations, you say that Section 21 schools consider prepaid services to avoid consumption without payments. Now, we all know what Section 21 schools are this, will the department assist with this, or what better? Thank you there. I think I'm covered. Thank you for time frames. They say they want to pay, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Member. Honourable Mayor Macias.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Let me also commend the department for having presented this to us. It has been a long, outstanding report whereby municipalities have been constrained by not getting enough money from those who are owing them, and they cannot really exercise their duties to the communities that they are representing. This has been outstanding for quite a long time. I'm happy today because now something's going to be done. We know that in the past, these municipalities or these areas, not really necessarily municipalities, they never got anything in the past. So now something is being done. So within this 20 years of the democracy, something is really happening. Unlike in the past when people never got anything from the previous government in their area. So my problem here, if I still remember well, even the time when I was still a mayor, 2001, we had this problem. It's quite a long time. But today we have settled it. I'm very happy about that. Are we going to move to a situation where we are not going to leave this to complexities now, so that we go back or we use the normal thing of 30 days when I'm moving towards that, so that whatever monies that we owe to the municipalities could be settled within 30 days. When can we see that happening? Because right now I know we are still addressing the backlog, which I'm really happy about it. The other thing is indeed the capacity within municipalities to do the right thing, or to the assistance, so that whenever they bill, you are not going to be querying the type of the way they bill the departments or the way they bill national and so on. What are we doing to assist this municipality so that in future we are dead sure that whenever they bill us, we are in the position to pay them because there will be no any discrepancies any longer. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members here. Department, your chance for a rejoinder. Oh, okay, just before you, Honorable Madrop.
Thank you, the department, for giving us the detailed information on the debt owed to municipalities. I wanted to check, there is an indication that the department, debt department, on the challenges, Chair. The first challenge that they have indicated, they are saying there is unrealistic budget allocation. What I want to check, they are saying the department can't address the historical debt for property rights and municipal services. Maybe it will be proper for the department to share with us if they are saying historical debt, what do they mean, from which debt or before the democratic government, if they are saying historical. Or does this also include historical debt, those debt for the department, because they can't address that. And also to request, Chair, that we must be updated on payment of the municipalities by department and provinces. We'll appreciate that. If today we have got this, we see the difference. It must be followed up until we see that the monies are paid to the municipalities.
Thank you very much, Honorable Madam. Department, your chance for your first rejoinder. Yes? Yeah, let's just take you before the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Department of Representatives. I look at the concerns here regarding the relationship between national and provincial local. How do you distribute the payments to the national? Because the numbers here are different. Are you allocating money because of the population of the area or what? What is this? What is the status? That's by using. The second thing, question of monitoring for provinces. I'm seeing in Mabulok, there's a lot of public houses, those who don't know about it. They said they are public works property. So what are we doing with those skeleton houses? The last one, I'm covered because of me. Terms of reverence, because I think we don't have time anymore. We need to work fast in terms of payment of the municipalities. Thank you.
Department.
Let me ask the CFO to address the questions and deal with the rest of the issues that may not have covered, including the policy questions for change of this thing permanently. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe just a quick recap in terms of the context that I tried to present right earlier in my presentation, so that it can assist, you know, the comprehension of the numbers that we have here. The first thing that I said was there's an issue and complexity with respect to the issues of custodianship, firstly, and in actual fact, eventual who is actually responsible to pay what. We have to solve that thing. As you know, we have to recompile our asset register, and we are where we are today, at least we are in a position with a clear or a certain level of, with a comfortable level of certainty that we know now who owes what and who's paid what. So first that, which our, like I said, our reference point was the 1st of April 2008, being the reference point from where we started off to move this way to the right. Prior to 2008, where that's the enhanced balance that's brought forward, as you can see in the second slide that you have there. You have a balance, opening balance, it comes back all the way, and it could go back many years. We just could not go all the way back, but you had a balance that started off from the 1st of April 2008 and worked our way right up to the 21st of March 2015, a 7-year period. So for all intents and purposes, that's the debt as it stands. And yes, as I said, the issue around the state land administration and ownership has been a real issue with respect to, especially when it comes to pre-1994 and the changes that happened after the 1994 dispensation, that we had to reallocate and pass land, this one owns that, the former TDC will be put to rural development and land affairs, the public works, there's 6 additional custodians that have to be there, allocated land. So it's going to be the kind of a difficult test. And that's why we need to undergo the process that we've undergone to try and rectify. So that's really where we are. The age analysis would be actually the severe instructions, like I said, we verify some of this, and we can count when the debt is. But you have an opening balance, which is about 1.1 billion rands, which you had, on the 1st of April 2008, and all the other transactions that took place over a 7-year period. Like I said, the point of reference is the 1st of April 2015, or the 31st of March 2015, that you are referring to. The subsequent debt, when it comes to when you move forward from 1st of April to the 16th, in terms of current payments, those are happening without any problem. I think we're quite comfortable that what is Duke and Spain? I think a short period of time. This is historical way back. I think that's what I wanted to portray. And then the context, I mean, not trying to say we condone and we find solace in saying this is how things have happened. In the Section 21 report, the total debt that I said as of the 1st of April 2013 was 96 billion rands that's owed to the municipalities. And of that 96 billion rands, the debt that's owed by government was about 5.2 billion, which is percentage terms about 5.4%, basically. And then not to, you know, justify what the non-payment, but I just put it in context that the difficulties of the municipalities, we can leave in terms of the settlement of those, but there's still a huge exposure that's sitting there with private sector as well as the households that we need to solve. And I think the issue about the question was why the allocation for the municipality, just because it stuck my mind, I think that the last question that was from the honourable member, the allocation to the different municipalities or the provinces. Now, it is not an allocation of budget, it is what they owe. Those municipalities are owed by the departments. The allocation in terms of what you give to the different provinces and whatever, be done by, you know, in terms of budget allocations, which is what the Fiscal Financial Commission would be doing currently. Which is what government departments are owing for Eastern Cape, Northwest, in terms of public use and the exposure they have. And there's a question on the target, when we intend to pay this. You see, I said this debt is an interdepartmental debt. It is not just one department owing municipalities this amount of money. What we took upon ourselves, because we are the main custodian of state property, what we took upon ourselves is we took a decision to go up and verify this debt, determine which department owes what, give them what they owe in terms of what they need to pay. That's what we did. Now, in terms of target, when we intend to pay, we can talk or think for public works because at least that's in our control. Like I indicated, of the 540 million rands that we hold, we paid about 342, somewhere in that order. The 200 that's outstanding, of the view that by end of June, that will be settled into the currency. That's for public works. And we have no history of that going back into many years. We will impress upon our colleagues in different departments in terms of the interdepartmental casting that we set up, the conservancy, to expedite their payments. And like I said, with the provinces under the sector, public sector, we are engaging consistently and will engage even beyond the sector with National Treasury to ensure that there is some kind of a parity when it comes to the allocations that needs to be made to the for purposes of settling this debt. There was a question around slide 9, which is unallocated for slide 9, which was a figure in the provinces unallocated. I think that dealt with the properties where the actual ownership could not be established with a clear level of certainty. Invested properties and that kind of thing, and they were there. We could not tell who owns which type of ownership. So it's just a line item that's unallocated. But when you look at it, it's something in terms of the stated balance of 251,000. We've gone done a whole lot of work, and that's where we are. So it had to do with
unallocated
unallocated receipts as well, sitting there. So the payments and see that it's almost 72 million rands. Yeah, in the suspense account, which is resolved. I'm just going. Okay, around the capacity to how do you assist municipalities? I think in this testing, one of the things, I mean, once we have completed the exercise of, you know, the verification of the debt and settlement of the actual debt itself, the next was there's remedial action that would develop to try and assist municipalities. And this will be made by the cocktail itself, basically. And we shall just have to follow through in terms of the plans that they put in place. And when I spoke about the unrealistic budgets, I'm just answering Honorable Madopo's question. The issue, just to recap again, just for the, you know, the what I'm trying to explain, that the municipalities, I mean, that's the issue of conflict of interest between us and the municipalities. We're trying to pay as much, as little as possible, you know. The municipalities want to charge as much as possible. Because, I mean, there's a reliance on, you know, municipalities, you know, revenue generation from this kind of thing. So there's that kind of thing that needs to be, you know, that delicate balance that needs to be achieved.
Yeah. I think the what for the night is, if you recall, there have been systematic policy changes to improve the plight of municipalities. Part of it was, for example, legislation that deals with the rates and taxes for municipalities. I don't know what exactly the act was. Previously, there were quite a lot of properties that were almost zero-rated or were never charged. And that has added a whole lot of properties to that should now be rateable. That process did not match the budget allocation process. Now, as we began to understand and allocate the assets to the various departments, particularly asset registers, those assets now are coming up and the municipalities are levying them. And in some cases, I found that they may have levied the departments of transport in some cases for roads as assets that belong to transport. And those are the things that we are seeking to resolve with Treasurer, because at the time when that legislation was passed, there should have been an assessment of what the implication of that to the various stakeholders would be, and therefore there should have been a concomitant increase in the allocation of the budgets for those departments, so that those budgets can then be able to be adequate for those departments to pay the municipalities for what they are paying. And that is what...
I think the last question that I will, there's a comment, not a question, that we need to come back to the committee and provide an update on the process, whether we are paying off. I think that's something we will certainly do and provide regular updates to the committee on probably a quarterly basis on how we fare in terms of the report that you presented to yourselves. Thanks, please, you will take the question.
I think mine is just the honorable special and members. I think mine is just a small addition. I also wanted to just emphasize 2 points. The first point being the quality of the information that we discovered through this process indicated that some of the municipalities could not fully substantiate the amounts claimed in the Section 71 reports, which seemed to indicate that the debt was a lot bigger than could actually be verified. The second point, I think, just to further latch on to the points that the CFO was making, now that we have got more accurate information from our perspective, we are starting to see some worrying trends that require response from us. The one area that we are seeing on the side of rates and taxes, for instance, which is the example that we will see, is that we took example of CFO around 20 properties as an example, where a recent valuation roll had been done, and it was indicating an astronomic growth in the valuations. And when we started unpacking the detail of those, we are seeing opportunistic allocation of the property categories, which then drove up this particular example, just 20 properties from about 4.9 billion to over 7 billion in valuation. The implication is obviously an unbudgeted increase in rates and taxes on the property. That's just one of the challenges. Thanks.
From the solutions perspective, sir, I need to give the correct. After, as we're doing this work and
establishing the accent and looking at what do we need to do to resolve it. We have made a presentation about a week ago to Foresight Management Committee, which is a committee of the Forum of Directors General that manages in between the big Foresight meetings and activities of government, to get the attention of those matters, with a view to going to cabinet as well, and sending them the proposals to be submitted. So that part is a part of managing within the scope of space of the intergovernmental relations arrangement. In the tasking itself, where, for example, there are interventions that are required from Treasury, there are interventions that were listed that are required from COFTA, and those include for COFTA leading the process of finding a solution together with FALCA on how municipalities can be assisted with capacity. It is well known that some municipalities' records are in touch. It is well known. But what I'm saying is, let's get those results. In the categories of payments that of the payments owed to municipalities, we sort of break them into two categories. Those that relate to tax rates and taxes themselves, which are based on the value of municipal valuation role of the municipalities. We want to develop a process that would ensure that those debts are settled as close to July 1st, which is the beginning of the year of municipalities as possible. Once we can have a system that can upload as soon as councils approve those municipal valuation rates, they upload them on a system so that the system generates the payment in accordance with that particular municipality's rate and taxes rates. And then we're able to make the payment within a short space after the 1st of July, within 10 days, for example, in the case of public works. Once we reach that, we'll be able to do that. That way, you will not have a debt owed to a municipality. Like we would do as households, we'll set it immediately and remove it from it. What you will be left with now is the consumption, service consumption, like electricity, water, etc. Those have to be subjected to the 30-day payment because they are bills and you pay on the basis of the consumption. So those are the kind of solutions we are also looking at in the intergovernmental space. And the proposal we made in the Section 81 for consideration of prepayments is also on a similar basis as I'm talking about the rates and taxes. To try and pay to make sure that they do not consume and accumulate debts to a point where they are unable to settle those debts. Because that's what is happening. If they don't get billed sometimes, they stay with the debt and it grows and they don't go where they inquire, and therefore then the debt is almost overwhelming, which is what is happening with provinces. Because these things have not been paid, they then don't have the budget allocated, complicated by the fact that the budget never increased to that same level. And we're trying to find mechanisms that could assist in the process. And ESCOM is already trying to do that with municipalities as well. I know SWANE is trying to do that with the electricity and the water for government departments in the capital region. They are introducing a prepayment system. That's a way of trying to reduce this thing, such that you are never subject to even to the 3-day. Because you will, once you do not pay in advance, you won't have the consumption, you'll have a problem, and you only be relieved by making sure that you load you pay the money so that they load the meters, the units for you. I think I think we have answered all of the questions, and that's not the compromise of the NFC anymore.
Thank you, Jim. But maybe I'm not sure when it comes to white elephant houses, those are belonging to public land. But how do you monitor and verify the houses that are belonging to them? Because in my a lot of elephant houses, they say they are owned by public land.
And what has been taken up, which is the payment that we made.
And I think that is what the Islam is trying to present. It's trying to present an opening balance, and then all the charges over a 7-year period, and the payments that are made, and telling other people to stop verifying tax against the state of debt because of the municipality's own age analysis report of 4.4 billion rents. And if you compare that with the baseline, which is the actual report as per national treasury, that indicates what's owed to the municipality on that very same date of 5.2 billion rents. And then how the numbers set up, you can get it.
I'm just a bit confused in that this process started in 2012, 1st of April. Yes, 1st of April 2008, and those were the opening balances. Now, it was a process that was undertaken by this department to ensure that the debts were dealt with. Yet, the opening balance then proceeded to triple in relation to the national debt, going from 348 million to over 1 billion, and the provincial debt went from 798 million up to 2 billion. So, if there were a process to deal with this, and that was established all those years ago, I don't actually see that you've done much, because in fact the debts have gone up and up and up and up, instead of starting with those opening balances and those opening balances going down, which is what one would have expected, they've gone up by massive amounts.
Could you switch off your microphone, sir?
I think, first of all, the chief made some very useful open comments, and it's a pity that they weren't in the slides. So in other words, the contextualization and describing the process. So what we've got is tables of statistics, and I think that that's what's causing some of the confusion. So I'm simply a statement, but there's a question mark behind. So the process that you're talking about didn't start in April 2008. The process started in last year, but looked backwards to 2015. And therefore, if we had the very useful contextual statement that you made, that which we didn't have in front of either project or in the thing, I think it would have then helped us to understand better. So in short, the answer probably has to be listed out, and I'm a little more sure. Successful progress has been made between 2015 and now, as we're reporting. That's not to say that there's a lot more progress than there is in there, but very significant progress. We can ask questions about previous deputy ministers and ministers, just the way that we were here, and previous teams in the department. But I think this process is showing, and also taking responsibility, not sure what I'm talking now, in what capacity. Taking responsibility not just for our own debts as the Department of Public Works, but for the totality of government's debts to municipalities, assisting municipalities themselves, but assisting other departments as well, including at provincial level. Does that help? Okay.
I think there was a question on what documents we utilize to verify that. So what's hope that these things? They also have the bill, the invoices. They make payments. So the invoices that they generate, we utilize that to verify the amounts that are involved to them. What we did is, like I said, we went through, we had a send the whole army of people throughout the country and every municipality to go and dig up information that can assist us be able to have some level of comfort with the actual amount that was owed, hence the 3.6 billion rands that we verified. And digging up, we came up with invoices, some corroborating information, that they, so we use all of that to come to a number that helps us. That's.
Thank you very much. Any further comments, questions? There are no takers. I'm a bit concerned. Baba Spur, in that to cut in, Natasha. Oh, okay. Okay. You see. Good folks, we have dealt with two agenda items. Now it's to deal with the third agenda item, which is not on the agenda. A corner on my left committed treason. She submitted a resignation from Parliament. And she has been working in the last month in her capacity as the committee secretary. Now, obviously, I'm the most unhappy man. Akona, we'd like to thank you for having been the institutional memory of the committee and also for the work that you have done. Often beyond the call of duty to assist members. I believe I speak on behalf of members when I say that you have done very well, you have done us proud, and we will miss the work that you have assisted us so ably with. So, all I can say is we wish you well in your new endeavors. I tried to find out why Akona was swaying. I wasn't so successful. I know that the other hat I was told she wears is the secretary of Niao in Parliament. That's treasurer. Treasurer, I'm not sure how much money there is there. But I was also told that Akona has decided to go and study full time. So we wish you well in your endeavors at university full time, Akona. I'm just a bit worried that I see there's also lots of failings at university these days. So you might get to a fiery reception, but we hope all will go well. Members have signed a card. So here's the cut to your call. So I'm sure that one of these things will try and organize tea for you, tea or supper. We'll invite the members who can be present. And that's it. So good folks, there's iced tea at back and iced coffee. Thank you very much, delegation from the department, Deputy Minister, honorable members, stakeholders. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.